The loneliest place in town or on earth is the pitcher's mound, so says Charlie Brown. And I am sure that he feels the way most of us do at some times in our lives when we are faced with the reality of a responsibility that we simply are not able to avoid any longer. Or when we discover that a decision must be made that is going to have far-reaching consequences in our lives. Or at other times when we discover our own personal individuality and that after all is said and done, we are, after all, very, very much alone. And it seems that in today's gospel story, Jesus himself discovered that feeling of loneliness. Because the gospel tells us that he went out by himself to a secluded place because he had just discovered that his cousin, John the Baptizer, had been killed, beheaded for preaching the coming of the kingdom. Jesus now had to face a personal challenge. Would he or would he not pick up where his cousin left off and continue to preach the good news of the coming of the kingdom? Because he knew in his heart that if he decided it was yes, then very likely he too would end up facing death all alone, broken. His decision now would have long-ranging consequences, whether he would say yes or no. He recognized the unique kind of unity that he had with the Father. And he also recognized that there was a need to share that special relationship of the Father and himself with other people. It was in that time of seclusion that he came to a conclusion. And when the people came, having followed him for so long, discovered him now in seclusion, his reaction was that he was moved to pity. He decided to reach out, to heal them, and to feed them, to recognize their brokenness, and to help them out. And in that symbolic action of healing and feeding, in that kind of reaching out, he made his decision, first of all, to continue the message of the kingdom of God that his cousin had begun. In that kind of reaching out, he began to realize that he was accepting the consequences of whatever would happen because of his preaching and living out the good news, even if it meant death. And in reaching out as he now did, he decided to share the gifts that he had with other people. And then immediately discovered that by giving what he had, already there was a surprise awaiting because there was more left over than anyone there would possibly have suspected. Jesus made a decision to be faithful to his work in his ministry, to be faithful to himself, and to be faithful to his Father. And the story then that we heard in today's gospel, that decision had long-ranging consequences that come right down to us this morning as we gather around this banquet table. The risen Lord is always with us as we gather to eat our meal of freedom together. The decision he made then is ritualized in our midst as we break bread together. Because the story of the feeding of the multitude of hungry people is the story of how we, the community of the church, are fed. How we are given strength each week on the Lord's Day to go out and to remain one more week at least faithful to our work, to our ministry, to ourselves, and to our Father. And that story, our story, we unite with the story of Jesus of saying yes. We unite those stories together and we ritualize them in our offering together to the Father of the offering of Jesus and our offering, and we make it one. That is what the Eucharist is all about. Jesus took pity on the crowd. He healed them. He preached the good news to them. And he told his disciples to feed them, to take care of their needs. And so Jesus took simple things, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, looked to heaven to the Father, blessed that simple food, broke it up, shared it with all the people who were gathered there. They all ate their fill. They were satisfied. And afterwards, there was very, very much left over. And to visualize, to illustrate that story, we have here on your left the first banner, the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's what Jesus did. The banner to the left of it is what we do now. We take the bread, the loaves of bread, and the cup of wine, and we do the same thing that Jesus did. And what Jesus does now, this morning, and every time we gather for this meal, Jesus, the risen Lord, is present here now with us in spirit, in his word and in his bread. Jesus has the same heart filled with compassion now as he did then. He takes pity on us in our brokenness. He recognizes the needs of each and every one of us this morning. And we gather here to be healed, to be forgiven, and to be reconciled to ourselves and our neighbor and the Father. And we have the good news of healing preached to us. And then we take simple gifts, the gifts that are brought forward, bread baked, wine taken from the earth, water, and the gift of yourself, a part of what you did during the past week. And we look to the Father in heaven. We call down the blessing of the Spirit upon these simple gifts. And then we break them. And we share the gifts with one another. And we discover that there's always a great deal left, because all of us go out refreshed and made strong again. And what happens to our gifts happens to us as well. Now that is the very heart of the mystery, the final step of why we are here. What happens to our gifts happens to us as well. What happened to the gift of food that Jesus gave to the people happened to him. He was taken. He was given thanks for. He was broken upon the cross. And then he was shared with all people of all times. The same thing happens to us. We become the bread who are broken as a people and passed out among others who need us. We, as Christians, after we are nourished here at the table of the Lord, we are taken. We are given thanks for. We are broken. We are shared with other people upon earth who look to us for some little hope, for a slight vestige of a vision of what life is all about, and a little bit of good news. The gift of faith that we have is strengthened here in the Eucharist, and we go out as the doors open into the week, and we share ourselves with other people who have no faith or whose faith is very weak. It is our faith that has been made strong, nourished here. That is the story of the Eucharist. That is the story of the gospel. That is why we have a parish, to be able to do together what sometimes we cannot do alone. The Eucharist and the gospel, the faith community, speaks of caring. Caring always means something happens between people. What matters to me is you, what you need and what you want, the healing, the reconciliation, and the mystery is that the more I give, I discover the more that I have left. And the gospel and the church mean that we accept each other in our brokenness and in our love. That in our brokenness we discover other people who need more than we even need. That we begin to see their weakness and we share our strength. We see their hunger and we offer them what we have. We reach out to one another and we heal other people as Jesus through the Father heals us. You can never keep what you do not share. The gifts that you have must always be shared. We commit ourselves to each other. We do together what we can never do alone. That is why we become members of the Church of the Resurrection, to spread, to share the good news that we are all made in love. And that's why Jesus went off by himself. He secluded himself because he wanted to bring forth something within himself to share with others. And that is why we do the same. Not only go on retreat and pray and meditate during the week, but above all, why we share the Eucharist together on Sunday. We seclude ourselves for a moment. We look at the God, Father, Spirit within us. We look at our lives on Sunday morning. We look at our futures, even if it's only the week ahead. And then we decide how, during the week, we are going to reach out. It is good sometimes to stand alone, to know what it's like to be in the pitcher's mound, so that we will be able to come on Mass, to come to Mass on Sunday to celebrate the Eucharist, to ritualize our caring, and then to live out the decision of how we're going to care all during the coming week. That is what church is all about. That is why we come together. To eat together, to celebrate together, to hear the story of Jesus, to understand our story and how it becomes like his story, to share a meal together, the meal that makes us free, that liberates us, the Passover meal of sharing bread and wine, the body and the blood of the risen Lord. We do exactly what Isaiah said this morning in the first reading, that all that we do here at this sacred table is the anticipation of the promise that someday we will all have our fill. Someday we will all live and dwell in the land that flows with milk and honey. Someday we will all be satisfied. But first we must be broken. But now already we enjoy the presence of the risen Christ here. Already we understand and enjoy the kingdom which is within us. Already we share the hope that we have with other people. We are called to be a people of hope. This Plato, who lived way before Christ, said, when people work with each other, at each other's side, although they might be a mere handful, they become lovers who are able to overcome. That's why we come together to celebrate the good news today and every weekend. To celebrate this meal that makes us lovers now, lovers who are willing to be broken for each other. That's why we come together with Jesus, our guest, the risen Lord.